Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
That is why Jesus Christ came, and he demonstrated kingdom love, this unconditional type of love. Why does God show us this kind of love? Kingdom love, love that goes with the kingdom. Anytime we see the kingdom, we see this kind of love over there. Wonderful. Why did he do that? Has it got to do with the kingdom life? Yes, it has got to do with the kingdom life. Has it got to do with our ability to live the kingdom life? Yes, it has got to do with our ability to lead the kingdom life. It comes when we do what? We see the depths and the heights and the width and the length, dimensions of the love of God. It makes us get filled with the fullness of God. And if you read the next verse, verse 26, it says, now it's like when you have fulfilled this condition, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. What is the power that is at work in us, by which God does exceedingly abundantly above what we even think? He does it graciously. It is when we know the dimensions of the love of God that this love begins to affect our practical life. So let's look at some benefits of the love of God to galvanize us to travel this long road, this everlasting road of the love of God. Why does God show us love? Why does he bring us kingdom love? Why did Jesus Christ have to come with unconditional love again? Which our first parents saw, which Cain saw. Do you know what happened to Cain? The Hebrew word that is translated, sin lies at your door, is the same word that is translated, sin offering lies at your door. When Cain killed his brother, God came to tell him that sin offering is lying at your door. He made provision for that sin. Take hold of the sin offering to cover your sin. But Cain did not use it. The sin offering is our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you read in the Old Testament, you come across sin offering in Leviticus. It's the same word that is translated, sin light at your door. Sometimes I ask myself, why do we interpret it like sin lies at the door? It means that Cain was going to sin. He had already sinned. When he says sin is lying at your door, the thing had already taken place. When sin takes place, what you need, what is close to you, what God brings near to you is an offering for that sin. So he said, take that offering and offer it and I will be accepted by you. Sin offering is lying by your door. I've brought it close because I am a God of love. So he brought the sin offering. His name is called Jesus Christ. He is the fullness of God, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus is the fullness of God. In other words, God is full of Jesus and Jesus is full of God. They are so full of each other that Jesus is God and God is Jesus. Sin offering, Jesus, the Son of God's love, came on this earth to show us one more time kingdom love and to become a sin offering for our ailments, for our disobedience. The first reason why God shows us kingdom love is because of who he is. God shows us unconditional love because of who he is. Because of who he is. The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 16, that God is love. God is love. And that is what God is. God is love. Hallelujah. So when God shows love, it is for his name's sake. It is because he is love. Look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, and then verse 25. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. Over there, God assures us that it is he who blots out our sins for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Isaiah 43, verse 25. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Ladies and gentlemen, this scripture, although found in the Old Testament, is describing us, those of us that Jesus Christ has come to take away our sin. Because you see, the second part of that scripture said that I will not remember your sins. Beloved, in the Old Testament, God always remembers sin year after year, year after year. That is why Hebrew writer quotes this one. I think Hebrews 10 also, that their sins and their transgressions I will remember no more. Says, I am he who blots out there. I won't remember your sins. So when we say I won't remember your sins over here, that it's referring to us in this kingdom era where Jesus Christ has come to die. I hope you understand. So the first part when he says that, I blot out your sins for my name's sake, it is the reason why God shows us love. Shows us love for his own sake, because that is him. 1 John chapter 2 verse 12 says that, little ones, I've written this one to you so that you know that your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. The same for his name's sake. For his name's sake. What is his name? His name is love. He is full of love. God is love. So he shows us love for his name's sake. God shows us perfect love because of who he is. Namely that he is unconditional love. That is why he says, it is for my sake that I did it. Not because he confessed, not because of anything, but for my sake. Because he will not deny himself. So, God does not need you to do anything for him to be who he is. Your belief or unbelief, your action or your inaction, that does not make God who he is. Because he is unconditional love. The reason is simple. He is unconditional love. He does not need you or what you put on the table to be himself. Otherwise, you can create God. But he is the all-sufficient, complete one. Without you, he is. Hallelujah. Wonderful. God doesn't need you to complete him. You need him to complete you. Jesus doesn't need you to be Lord. You need him to be Lord. He is the sun. We are the moon. We have no light on our own. We only reflect somebody's grace, somebody's work onto people in this life. We can't be proud because whatever thing we have, whatever things we are, whatever God has done for us, it is because of his own name's sake. Because he is a son, he can't help it but to let you reflect him. Hallelujah. Religion will always tell you to do something to make God do something. But in the kingdom system, God does something to make you do something because he can move with or without any condition. Rather, he can move without any condition existing around. He can move. That is what makes him God. For his name's sake, I tell you, he has forgiven the world for his name's sake. He has done it. He has forgiven you and me for his name's sake. He has an interest in that. He doesn't have to wait for us. He has forgiven us. The Bible says that to witness to the fact that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their sins unto them, and has given us the same message of reconciliation. To witness to the fact that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not reconciling himself to the world. It's the world that ran away from God. It was Adam that left God. Adam said that I was afraid because I had sinned, so he went to hide. God didn't hide. Even when he sinned, God knew he had sinned, and God was coming to him. Because God's love is unconditional. So if he asked him, who told you that you are naked? Who told you that? Wonderful. The problem is not God doesn't like us. The problem is that it is us who are running away from God. Because we have a wrong picture about God. The devil is a bad devil. He wants to give a certain picture about God, that God is a bad God. He's a wicked God. That he's a stingy God. But that's not the picture God gave about himself in the first kingdom era. He didn't. So you know what? The devil came to Adam and Eve. And then he said to them, to Eve, I should say, he said to her, has God said, you shall not eat of the trees of the garden? No, I said, no. God has not said. He said, we can eat everything, but this one, we can't touch it, lest we die. The devil says, no, you will not die. When you eat, you'll be like God. Do you know what the devil was trying to tell Eve. He was trying to tell Eve, who was already like God, that God is holding back something from you. So do something to be like him. But is it true that she had to eat the fruit in order to be God? No. She was already like God, created in the image of God. Male and female created he them. Hallelujah. And the devil will up to today come to you and say, and give you an impression that God has withheld something from you, which you already have by his love and providence. He has already given you. And he will tell you that you have to cry out for it. But do you know something? You can enter into this kingdom dimension where you know that everything has been provided for me by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Everything has been provided for me before I was created in Adam. And I came around and everything was finished. So what do I have to do? Just enjoy. And the only thing the devil will want to do is to try to give you a curtailment, prevent you from enjoying by giving you an impression that you don't have access to something. As God said, you should not eat all these things. Hallelujah. So religion will always give us condition. When you do this, then God will do that. When you do this, then God will do that. Hey! We can even go to extents. Those of you who are matured, you can take it. We can even go to the extent of saying that if you can't believe for something, God will not give it to you. It's true. But I see it defied all over the place. If you can't believe for it, forget. And so you see that it's a kind of Old Testament putting us in a place where we have to do. When the thing is already done by our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the Holy Spirit said, there abide three things, hope, faith, and love. These three, and the greatest is love. Do you know why he said that? Anytime you come across things being compared, like these three people, the greatest is this one, A, B, C. The greatest among these three is this one. It is because the three of them can do the same thing. That is why you can compare them and say, this is greatest, this is greater, this is great. Do you understand what I'm telling you? In other words, love can do what faith can do. Do you know what you do? Rather, I should say to you, it is love that gives fuel to faith to work. That is why love becomes great. It is like your car engine. Your car engine, it functions by oil in the engine. So oil makes the engine work. If faith is like an engine, love is what makes the faith work. So which one is greater? It's love. Because without it, you are nothing. You can move mountains by all your faith. Believe God for all the miracles. But without love, you are nothing. Hallelujah. So what am I saying? Practically, what it means is this. I'm not saying that, Pastor, now we don't believe again. It's only love. Do you know this is how you operate it? Even when your faith is shaking, believe in the love of God for you. That by the love of God, that miracle is going to come into my life. Hallelujah. So the first reason why God shows us love is so that he will be himself. He will be himself. He cannot deny himself. Number two, God shows us love so that we will be filled with his fullness. We will be filled with his fullness. In other words, we will be filled with love. God shows us love that we will be filled with love. Whatever thing is manifest to you, you see it, you become full of it. Ephesians 3:19 says that we should all believers know the dimensions of the love of God so that we will be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God is love. The fullness of God is Jesus. Jesus came showing us the love of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why God showed us Jesus is so that we will be filled with his type of love. The reason why we must know the love of God is so that we will be filled with what we know. Because what we know, we become filled with. What is revealed to you, you will bring forth to what you see all the time. It's true. If you tend to see poverty all the time, you will bring forth to poverty. But in your mind's eye, in your eyes of faith, ladies and gentlemen, based upon what Jesus Christ did for us, he was made poor on the cross for us. Begin not to see poverty. Begin to see your needs are met. Amen. Begin to see that you are blessed. Amen. People say that, well, you don't have anything in your bank account. You don't have, even your money has been squandered by these crooks and all those kind of things. But begin to see yourself differently. Yes. As you see, you become it.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So he says, I want you to see the dimension of the love of God, that you will be filled with the fullness of God, which is filled with love, and you exude love everywhere effortlessly. You will not try this one, should I forgive or should I not forgive? You'll be so full of love that you forgive and you don't even know. You don't even know. People will stand back and they will see, hey, this guy, is he not hurt by this thing? Why is he behaving so nicely like that? He doesn't seem to be consumed by this kind of behavior these people are showing to him. You know, you are not even aware of anything they have shown. Do you know something? Because the forgiveness is effortless.
Yeah.
You know that you have been forgiven effortlessly. So you too, you forgive people. Yes, us. You in Christ Jesus were forgiven. It's powerful. Number three, God shows us his love to make our faith work. He shows us his love to make our faith to work. If you want your faith to work, this is where I will teach you properly how faith works. If you want your faith to work, make sure that you are full of the love of God for you. You must know that God so loves you. That is where your faith will work. Hallelujah. That is why Jesus Christ came showing and demonstrating to us the love of God, so that we will believe. We will believe in the love that God has for us. Hallelujah. Bible says that we have known and we have believed the love that God had for us. God is love. We knew the love of God through Jesus Christ and his life when he came on earth. And then he forgave people unconditionally, like this woman caught in adultery. She was caught in the very act. And everybody said, according to the law of God, she must be stoned. Jesus Christ was at the crescent of the Temple Mount, and he was writing. And he behaved as if he didn't hear. He didn't hear that they were accusing this woman. I tell you, that is Jesus' attitude towards you. He is not keen on hearing your sins. He doesn't like to hear your sins. He will behave as if, no, he has not sinned, because he took away your sin. And on the cross, he doesn't accuse you before the Father. He sees you have sinned. He said, God, I have taken it away. He is not happy to hear that, hey, have you heard this man of God has fallen and this one has fallen? And have you heard this pastor is doing this very bad and all that? No, his ears are not inclined to that. He refused to hear. That is, what is happening? What is happening? Jesus didn't mind them. He was still writing. That is his attitude towards anybody who sins. Ladies and gentlemen, he does not always chide. He does not always ship you. Why should he ship you? When his son was whipped on the cross for your sin, it will be injustice to his son for you to be whipped again. And the son will not stand for that. But when you are not mindful of the fact that Jesus took away your sin, then the devil can come and condemn you. But now, there is therefore no condemnation. Not in heaven now. The Bible says, because of what Jesus Christ did for us, there is therefore now. It means today, as you sit here right now, there is no condemnation for you. If your mind is fixed on what the Spirit has done in Christ Jesus. Because by the Spirit of God, he tasted death for every one of us. Hallelujah. So our faith, it works by the love of God. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. Faith worketh by love. Faith is the engine. Love is the oil. The engine works by the oil. If you have engine, there is no oil, forget about the engine. You can have the biggest engine, the engine will not function. But the engine functions by oil. By oil. Oil in the engine. Hallelujah. From today, don't let believing God be a burden like the 11th commandment. We have been freed from our own works to enjoy the works of the one, the performance of the one who took your place and who did everything for you to qualify 100% by his finished work. Don't be deceived anymore. Hallelujah. From now onwards, be filled with the love of God. And you see that when you believe things are happening, when you believe things are happening, because there's so much oil in your engine. Your engine is moving you from poverty to prosperity. That car is moving you just because there is oil. Faith works by love. Engine works by oil. Love is great. Hallelujah. Because it makes your faith to work. Some people think that this scripture means that if you don't have love, your faith will not... Oh, I should put it this way. That you can believe God for things, and whether you love people or not, that thing will work. Ladies and gentlemen, it is true. Whether you love people or not, your faith will work. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, didn't he say, if you have all faith that you can move mountains and have no love, the faith will work. The faith will work. Yeah. So what kind of love is being talked about in Galatians 5:6? Turn to Galatians 5:6. What kind of love is being talked about? Is it you loving people? Is it you having love in your life? In other words, you love your neighbor and things like that. No, he's talking about the love of God, the love that God has for you in your life. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision mean anything nor uncircumcision, but faith that worketh by love. In other words, he's telling you that faith will work when you know that God loves you. When you know that what? God loves you. So when you know that God loves you, your faith will work. Even when you refuse to love your neighbor, you criticize the other man of God, you criticize, you do bad things. You see that still miracles are happening. Do you know why? It's because God loves you. It's not because you walk in love. Because we can see that you're always criticizing other people. That's not love. Love promotes other people. You understand that? So God shows us love to make our faith to work. It is the love of God that makes your faith to work. It is not whether there is love in your life or love is not in your life. It is the love of God that makes your faith to work. That is why the Bible says that it is of the Lord's compassion that we are not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God is faithful to us because of his compassion, because of his love. Our faith will work. He is faithful to us, answering our prayer and all that because of what? His compassion, because of his love. Unconditional for us. That is why, in spite of your bad behavior, still you believe and things happen, because he wants to tell you that repent by his goodness that he shows to your life. Hallelujah. Finally, for today, why does God show us love? God shows us unconditional love to make us fear him. God shows us unconditional love to make us fear him. To make us to fear him. Psalm 130 verse 3 to 4. Psalm 130 verse 3 to 4. 130 verse 3 and 4. If you, Lord, should mark iniquity. Please underline mark. The margin of the New King James Version of the Bible says to take note of. If you should take note of iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. There is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Why does God in love forgive us and not mark our iniquity? In other words, write down our iniquity. Have I told you that God doesn't write down the sins of believers who believe that Jesus Christ took it on the cross? The blood of Jesus Christ wiped out all the handwriting of offenses that were contrary to us. He wiped it out. God doesn't record any believer's sin. He records everything in his book. No, he doesn't have time for that. Your sins are not recorded in a book. If you believe that Jesus Christ took away your sins, it is rather your righteousness that God records. Your sins, he doesn't record. Hallelujah. In the kingdom system, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe in what Jesus Christ did, God overlooks your sins like he overlooked the sin of Abraham. And although Abraham doubted, we know what doubt is. We read in Genesis, Abraham doubted. Yet the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he is able also to do it. But you read Genesis chapter 18, we know that Abraham laughed, Sarah laughed, all of them, they doubted. They doubted, they doubted, they lied, they doubted that God's word will come to pass in their lives. But God does not recognize the sin. That is why, although he took Ishmael, he came to him in Genesis 22 and said that, Abraham, take your son, your only son. No, at that time, the only son of Abraham was not Isaac. Abraham had two sons, but one was a mistake son, and God didn't recognize it like that. It's wonderful. God overlooked the sins of Abraham, and he gave him the blessing. That's why we enjoy the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham comes because somebody died on the cross. That Abraham, where he was an idol worshiper, his family were full of idol worshippers. They were worshiping the sun, the moon, and all these things. He didn't have ancestral curses following him. He rather had blessings following him. That is the blessing of Abraham. And that is why Jesus was made a curse for us. That ancestral, whatever thing will not follow us. That the blessing of Abraham, freedom from curses because of our ancestry, because our fathers worship God, those things will not come upon our life. Jesus Christ is the cutoff point for us. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. So evil will not continue forever. He is the end of evil. The Bible says that he came to end transgression. End transgression. End transgression. And bring in everlasting righteousness. Everlasting righteousness. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. God forgives us. Shows us love. That we will fear him. Because listen, ladies and gentlemen. If you sin against somebody and the person unconditionally forgives you, do you know what will happen in your relationship to that person? You will love the person. You will love the person. In fact, you will fear the person. Hey! What sort of person is this? All that I did, he doesn't recognize it. You will worship the person. You will talk about the person to other people if you know that. Hallelujah. But sometimes we think in the opposite. We think that if God punishes and punishes and punishes and punishes, then we'll be afraid of him. Go and ask Adam. Then God told him that you would die when you eat this fruit. Did that threat prevent him from eating? Did that proclamation of judgment prevent him from eating? No, Adam was not deceived though. His eyes were on. He knew God had said that. But he was not afraid of that judgment. He went to eat with his eyes open, ate it, and swallowed it. You see, God is wonderful. He teaches us the way he doesn't want to do some things. And afterwards, he comes and teaches us the way he really wants to do something. That is why he brought the second Adam, who loved us. There is no threat with Jesus. He rather takes away all your sins. That you obey God, not because you fear the consequences of punishment, but because you love him. Because he first loved you. By what? Forgiving you. So that what? So that you will fear him. You will live for him. Not because of the fear of the consequences of sin, but because you just love him. You just love him. Hallelujah. That is a kingdom system under which we are. That is why we must be saturated, know the depths of the love of God. Don't be smarter than God. Don't think that when you issue woes to people, hey, you, when you do this, curse and everything, hey, I am a man of God. If you don't take care, I will curse you and things like that. They may obey you temporarily because they will fear a curse. But believe me, it's not because they love you. And an evil day will come. You see what will happen to you, like what happened in the Garden of Eden. And they will turn their back against you with their eyes on. Because God doesn't want to threaten us into obedience. He wants to love us into obedience. That is what Jesus Christ came to do. So God shows us love. Why? That we would love him, fear him. Hallelujah. You want to walk in the fear of God? You can go and read and believe that tender will strike you as it is in the Old Testament. You can go and believe all that. You see that you are still disobeying. Yeah, because that's not how it works. It works by love, by the show of his love. God knows that the problem of sin in our lives is he showing us his unconditional love. That's why Jesus Christ came full of that. Don't reverse it. Don't take us back into the Old Testament where we hear the power of God and the threats of God and earth will open and you'll be swallowed and all your children and all that. No, it doesn't prevent people from rebelling. They rebelled. God was punishing. They were rebelling. God will punish. God, you were rebelling. Until God decided, I'm going to do it for my own sake. I'll forgive you your sins. I will not remember them again. And he fulfilled that in Jesus, who came to take all our sins away righteously, so that righteously he will not remember it. Not by being forgetful, but because somebody has legitimately taken it away. So he will righteously declare you righteous without compromising how righteous he is. Because somebody righteously took away your sin, that righteously you can become righteous without God minimizing his righteous stance against sin. It's powerful. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. So you have to know the love of God. If you see people living in sin, they don't know that God loves them. Believe me, if they know that God loves them, no temptation will tempt them. They won't go and soil themselves when they know the Father loves them. They won't go and give themselves to the devil, because the devil deceives them to think that God is annoyed with them. After all, he's annoyed with you, so you add something small to it, and you go and sin. And sin will begat sin, and begat sin, and begat sin. So he has to end it. Oh, it's wonderful. God's love, ladies and gentlemen, is so powerful. It stops the law of sowing and reaping in your life. And it is stopped. You don't have to reap what you sow. Somebody reaped it. Your harvest is love and goodness, love and goodness, love and goodness, enjoyment, yes. Enjoyment. Just allow yourself to be flattered by the love of God. Enjoy the love of God. Some of you relate with God like you are business partners. You do this, I do that. You do your side, I do his side. No, he's not a transactional God. He is a father. He loves you. Period. Unconditional. God bless us. Hallelujah.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.